Welcome back. Gotta know what that means. Means we're talking some baseball. Switching gears a little bit. We'll still take calls, and we definitely want to talk about what's going on with March Madness, that final game. 1-800-878-7529. Those are the digits. Hit us up on Twitter at ByJeffRich or at Dorf on Sports, as well as follow us here at Sports Byline USA. But obviously, that music means we're talking baseball, and to do that, we always bring on our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Morning, Jeff. Doing very well, thanks. How are the two of you?
I can't complain, man. I'm about as happy as it gets. My Wisconsin Badgers pulled off the unthinkable, beating Kentucky on Saturday, and I'll tell you what, man, it's a lot of jubilation for me right now, I'll be honest with you. Very excited. Tremendous job of coaching by Bo Ryan and great execution by those players, man. And I'll tell you what, very happy, very proud to be from that great state of Wisconsin right now, John.
Yeah, I guess that was quite an upset. As you know, I'm not anything close to a college basketball expert. I've often said that what I know about college basketball, you could print in block letters on a pinhead, but I gather that was quite an upset.
Unbelievable, man. You know, it's I wouldn't go quite as far as saying it's a David versus Goliath, Jeff, to be honest with you, you know, like a lot of people are saying. But I would say that, you know, it was one of those deals where something had to give, and the Badgers have just had this mentality where they just won't die. They just won't quit. Kentucky hasn't really been pushed like they were, and therefore we got ourselves a great basketball game, and ultimately, you know what? I really think the better team won. I don't think it was a fluke. I think, and when you look at their route, a lot of similarities to last year. Had to beat Oregon in the round of 32, had to beat Arizona in the Elite Eight, had to beat Kentucky in the Final Four where they lost to them last year. A lot of similarities, and this year they executed and they got it done. More power to them. Congratulations. And you know what? The task isn't done yet. Monday night will be here very soon. So let's get into some baseball, though, man. It's very much around the corner now, John. We got one day, man. What can you say?
Well, it's here. It's opening day. It's a very special day to baseball fans, baseball players. It's probably as exciting for baseball fans as the opening of the NFL is for football fans. And I know right around Labor Day, you get very excited when it's NFL opening day. Here we are, the first week of April. I get very excited when it is Major League Baseball opening day. To me, it's a sign that spring is here, summer's around the corner, and we're in for some nice weather. So really looking forward to it. Lots been happening this offseason. Two great pitchers going against each other in Wainwright and Lester tonight at Wrigley Field. So looking forward to a great baseball season.
Agree 100%. Nationals, man, they're getting a lot of love. Why could you see the Nationals winning the World Series?
Well, the Nationals have built the team the right way. Certainly they've got what is undoubtedly, in my opinion, if everybody stays healthy, is the best starting rotation in Major League Baseball. And they have some other good young players who haven't, you know, terribly hit their prime yet. Bryce Harper is the one that comes to mind. I mean, we think of Bryce Harper as being around for a long time, but I think he's still only 22 or 23 and hasn't yet faced a pitcher in the major leagues that's younger than he is. So, you know, that just tells you where the Nationals' future is. They have certainly not been shy about spending money and beefing up that pitching staff. I think Matt Williams has a great chance to manage a World Series team this year.
Interesting stuff. That is the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports, joining us talking Major League Baseball as opening day has come, baby. We are here. So much going on in the sports world at this point. Jeff, throw something at John Poulter.
You know, John, you know, speaking of the World Series, when I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, I made a bet with my heart, you know, took the Indians at 25-1, which isn't impossible. You know, Sports Illustrated's all over them. They opened the season with the Astros on Monday night. Corey Kluber taking the hill. And some big news out of Cleveland is that they've locked Kluber up for essentially the next 6 years, taking them all the way to the age of 35. You know, it's a move that the Indians have to make with some level of risk. But how do you like the Tribe locking up the reigning Cy Young winner in the American League?
Well, I think it's something that they have to do. We've seen other teams do it with quality players and quality pitchers before they hit that free agency mark. What I'm hearing is that Kluber is already signed for this year at about $600,000, and the pending contract is for 5 years additionally, which would, as you say, would lock him up for another 6 years. The dollars to be determined, and I understand they're doing something similar but on a much smaller term and smaller amount with Carlos Carrasco, one of their other great pitchers. And it sort of mirrors what they did a year ago with Yan Gomes and Michael Brantley and Jason Kipnis, locking up some young players just before the start of the season to get that distraction of negotiating contracts away once the season has started. So I think it's a smart move on the Indians' part. There's always some risk when you sign a pitcher to a long-term contract. We've seen that many times, but I think in the circumstances, it's probably something they had to do, Jeff.
Hey, John, let's just kind of keep going around things here in Major League Baseball. Josh Hamilton and the Angels kind of appear to be stuck with each other. How do you think this is going to shake out?
Well, I think it's going to get ugly from a lot of standpoints. You may recall we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I made the comment that I had heard an executive of a major league team supposedly, when asked the question if this investigation was PED-related, his answer was one word, and that one word was worse. And I guess what we learned this week is an indication that it's worse. It puzzles me from a couple of standpoints. Number one, it puzzles me from the standpoint that this is a self-declared sort of, quote, falling off the wagon in terms of his previous issues. And, you know, he's not going to get punished for it. So it kind of makes me wonder if this is an attempt to get guys to self-declare that they have a problem and therefore, without the risk of suspension, they might be more willing to come forward and make that concession. But you have to feel for the Angels on one respect because they've invested a lot of money in a guy. They've had two bad seasons out of him, and now they've got an injured player and a tarnished player making big bucks, so he's obviously going to be untradeable. On the other hand, the Angels are big boys. Given his background before he reached Los Angeles, you kind of have to wonder if, you know, it wasn't in the back of their mind that these kinds of things may relapse, and if so, you know, they went into this with their eyes wide open. But I think it's certainly going to get ugly when you've got baseball and the team on one side and the player on the other. You know, any marriage is 50-50, and I don't think this is going to work out real well.
Yeah, I mean, look, not only that is we live in a society where you get second, third, fourth, however many chances, okay? But when you're just showing the ability to not be capable of functioning like a normal human being when given second and third and fourth opportunities, at a certain point, you got to close the door, you got to turn your back on someone like that, yes or no?
Yeah, you have, and I kind of sit back and wonder, you know, I mean, this man has clearly let his family down, he's let his teammates down, he's let his employer down, he's let Major League Baseball down. Recognizing that he has a problem that he has to deal with, you know, I guess we all kind of hope that this would all be behind him by now. And as you say, he's had two or three chances. Ironically, it seems that these lapses seem to come sort of every 3 years. And I think the first one was in 09, the second one was in 12, and here we are in 15. And they always seem to be outside of the baseball season. So we read all these stories that
yeah.
Texas and L.A. both sort of had, I'm going to use the word guardians or coaches to help him, you know, with his past issues. Obviously, those folks don't follow him around 12 months of the season. So you have to wonder if there's a little bit of a flaw in the model in terms of how they look after these fellows when they do have this issue. So maybe that's a learning process for the game and for the individuals as well.
Well, I think the go ahead, Jeff.
And, you know, it's funny you should bring that up because, you know, and I've hinted at my, you know, Cleveland background, but, and, you know, Albert Bell was not always Albert Bell. You know, if you remember the the power hitter for the Indians in the mid 90s. Sure. He was Joey Bell, and he had incident after incident with with alcohol, and they basically, the Indians basically brought his brother in to chaperone him. And I don't know if Josh Hamilton has anyone like that in his life that could give up their life and follow him around and be his, you know, and be his chaperone and make sure he's behaving himself even in the off season.
Well, I think that's got to be something they've got to look at. Obviously, I've never talked to the man, but I've read certain articles on him, and I gather he's very close to his father-in-law, and his father-in-law was quite responsible for straightening him out the first time. So I'm wondering if that might be a tie that might work out.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Hey, John, do you have a couple more minutes to spend with us on the other side? I hear the music means we got to get to a break, but I got a couple more things that I want to ask you. Do you have a few more minutes for us?
Yep, no problem whatsoever.
Sounds great. John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball. We'll be right back, man. So much going on in the sports world right now with baseball being here, March Madness coming to an end here, and the NBA playoffs getting started pretty soon. Sports are awesome. They really are, and that's why we're here every Sunday to talk to you about them. Keep it close. John Poulter, Dorfman, Jeff Rich, we'll all be right back in just a moment. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
I love iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Love it.
Everywhere, man.
Seriously.
Everywhere, man.
20 million songs from 450,000 artists.
iHeartRadio.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
I create my own radio stations.
iHeartRadio.
Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
All righty, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got my man Jeff Rich, who's with me each and every week. Got our guy John Poulter, our professor of sports. He's with us each and every week as well. You can too, 1-800-878-7529. And just a quick reminder, we're brought to you in part today by Today's Homeowner Television, Radio, and Online Home Improvement with Danny Lipford. Danny is one of America's leading home improvement experts. For local listings and online videos and articles, go to todayshomeowner.com. That's todayshomeowner.com. John, jumping right back into this, I don't know what you think about this guy, but it seems like a lot of people feel he's undervalued, underappreciated, and that's Jonathan LaCroix from my Milwaukee Brewers. Someone says this guy needs to get paid a little bit more. What do you think?
Well, he's got the, I guess he's got the issue of playing in what's deemed to be a smaller market and a lower profile city. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to your hometown. You know, if he was playing in New York, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, I suspect he would be a bigger name media-wise. If he was playing somewhere other than the Midwest, I think he would be much more appreciated than he is. I've seen him play two games or three games this spring, two of which he played six or seven innings in each game. And certainly he's a key part of the Brewers. He's a very good defensive catcher, and he can also hit. So I would have to suspect that if he was playing in a bigger market, he would be a lot more overhyped than he is. Maybe playing in a smaller market actually is helping him because it's allowing him to concentrate on baseball and prove himself on the field. But certainly from what I've seen, a very capable, competent catcher.
Hey, absolutely. John, for those who aren't familiar with the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League Central Division, is there a comparable catcher in Major League Baseball that you can line Jonathan LaCroix up next to?
Oh, tough question. I guess when everybody thinks about first-class catchers today, you know, we think about Buster Posey and Yadier Molina. In my mind, they're the jewels in terms of catchers. I guess I date myself in age when I talk about catchers, and I say that, you know, by far the best catcher I've ever seen is Johnny Bench. And it's a long time since Bench played, but Sparky Anderson used to make two comments about Johnny Bench, and one was there's good catchers, there's great catchers, and there's Johnny Bench. And the other one was that Bench is so good he could catch a ball game with a pair of pliers. And nobody, even a guy like Ivan Rodriguez, who's probably the best catcher in recent memory, in my opinion, didn't hold a candle to Bench. In terms of today's catchers, I can't think of one offhand, Jeff, that would match LaCroix. He might be the best young catcher in the league. I think McCann's still a very good catcher, but he's getting on in years. I think Russell Martin's a very good catcher defensively and in terms of leadership, but he's sort of played under the radar a little bit. Although he's played for the Dodgers and the Yankees, I think his best years were in Pittsburgh. So perhaps that's the best comparison I can make in today's game, is if people can think of Russell Martin in his 2 years with the Pirates.
John, my final question for you. Jeff, did you have something to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
My final question for you, and it's going to be a maybe three part here, basically, is, and I just want to have you give us a little prediction on your part. So let's hear some MVPs from American and National League. Let's hear some Cy Young winners, and then let me hear who you think is going to the World Series.
Let's do it backwards. I think in terms of the World Series, we're looking at Washington from the National League, Cardinals and Dodgers to give them a pretty good run for their money. In terms of the American League, that's kind of all over the map. I kind of like the way that the Seattle Mariners have beefed up over the wintertime and maintained what they have. I kind of see Seattle as being the stronger team in the American League. I think the other two divisions are going to be very well contested. I think Seattle's going to have a fairly easy time of it in the West. As long as Hernandez and Iwakima stay healthy, I don't see that the Mariners coming unstuck. In terms of MVPs, I guess the obvious one is Mike Trout with the Angels. To me, he's the best player in baseball right now. In the National League, I think you're going to look at a two-horse race between Andrew McCutchen in Pittsburgh. If he can get healthy, and Bryce Harper in Washington, I think, is probably due for a breakout year. Cy Young, I'm going to go with Felix Hernandez in Seattle. And in the National League, I'm going to say it's a two-horse race between the two guys that we're going to see tonight, and that's Adam Wainwright and John Lester. And I'm going to give the nod to Wainwright because I just think the Cardinals at the end of the year are going to be a bit better team.
Very good stuff, John.
Hey, you left Clayton Kershaw out of that conversation. Are you expecting a serious amount of regression from the Dodgers ace?
Not from him personally. I just don't think the Dodgers are going to be there. I think they've got some horrible problems in the bullpen, and Kershaw only pitches every fifth day. And I think the final standings are going to take a bit of a hit there. I think the Dodgers probably are the strongest team in that division, but I think they're going to be a weak division winner. And I know that the voting for those awards is done before the postseason starts, but Dodgers always seem to come apart in the postseason, and that's what everybody remembers. So I still think Wainwright and Lester, and let's pencil Kershaw in there because obviously the man's a tremendous talent. But Wainwright would be my candidate right now.
Hey, John, as always, man, really, really appreciate your time. Great stuff, as always, too. This week you and I are getting together for lunch. Jeff, I don't know what your plans are, but maybe you can join us if possible. So I'm going to give you a call either later today or tomorrow, John, and we'll figure out a good day to get out there.
Works for me.
Have a great afternoon, man. What do you got going on today?
Today's a little rest and relaxation. My wife arrived on Friday and has been working hard and suffering from the usual jet lag, a three-hour time difference from the East Coast. So just been taking it easy the last couple of days. I suspect that we'll probably do the same thing again today and enjoy the sunshine and sit and look at the temperature and say, boy, it's a little different than it is at home, and just be thankful we're here and not at home.
Absolutely, man. Have a great day. Enjoy listening to what you have to tell us each and every week, and I'll be in touch in the next few hours or tomorrow, and I'll be seeing you very soon, John.
You
appreciate
betcha.
Your time, man.
Great to talk about baseball and not have to talk about PEDs. Unfortunately, we've seen that again this week, but great not
yes.
to talk about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We just I kind of let that one go, obviously, with what happened there. But bottom line is we know they're out there, and it's part of the game at this point. And
yeah,
it's a matter of who's getting caught and who's not getting caught, right?
That's right, and we don't want it spoiling opening day.
Absolutely. Hey, John, good stuff as always. Again, appreciate it. We'll talk to you very soon.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
John Poulter, a professor of sports, hanging out with us, talking baseball, and rightfully so. It's opening day, man. We're right here. So, Jeff, I want to throw something at you that caught my eye after the basketball game with the Kentucky and the Wisconsin Badgers. And one of the Harrison twins, obviously a little bit upset, and Kentucky a little bit upset. Let's be honest about this. I don't think they handled the loss that great. Nobody does. Let's be honest. When you lose in a way like they lost, and you know you're fighting for history and this and that and the other, but ultimately you got to be classy. And I'm not always right. I'm wrong sometimes, and when I'm wrong, I can admit it. I know he's apologized, but you're on camera. You're being interviewed. There's people there. There's reporters asking you questions. I'm sorry, man. Unacceptable behavior. And if I'm Kentucky, I really have a very serious conversation with all these kids. Yes or no, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it used to be that you only had seniors up on that podium, and the Harrison twins have been around a couple of years. But, you just think that, is it like Mike Tyson – where you're not raising men, you're raising fighters, or you're raising basketball players in the case of the Harrison twins. And this is, let's chalk this up to an isolated incident. That's where I'm at with this. It's unfortunate. He had a hot mic, said something that, he'd obviously have preferred not to have, aired itself on national TV, and hence gone viral on the internet. But, I let it go at the end of the day. I think it's something that needs to be addressed, but I don't think that it's something that we need to sit and dwell on and paint the picture of Andrew Harrison's character based on a 3-second slip of the tongue, which was unfortunate and unacceptable. But at the same time, it's not, you know, not any reason to destroy this young man's life.
How much of this would you say was heat of the moment, heat of the battle, and, you know, a reaction to some...
100%. 100%. Yeah, heat of the moment, absolutely.
I agree with you. Look, I mean, we all make mistakes, you know, and the bottom line is, should he have said something like that? No. But can you understand it in the context in which he was just under after losing a ball game and his team, you know, was being talked about as a 40-0 team and all of a sudden they lose? So emotions got the best of him. I totally get it. I understand it. However, there's really no place for that kind of stuff in sports. So you got to nip it in the bud as soon as possible. How do you think Calipari handled it?
Poorly? I don't know. You know, it's funny because we've seen this guy lose his final game of the season in March, and, you know, March or April twice now. And he just, you know, he's a guy that doesn't like to lose. I think that there's, you know, there's some character concerns with Calipari, but, you know, you want good character, get a dog. You want a good basketball coach, hire John Calipari. You know, the guy doesn't lose with grace. He never has. You know, going all the way back to his days at UMass. You know, the guy's just got kind of, I don't want to say he's a twerp, but he rubs people the wrong way. And, you know, I think that we've just become immune to it. And that's why not as big a deal has been made about it. But, you know, Notre Dame had a problem with the way that Calipari handled the victory over them. You know, I haven't heard. I think Wisconsin's too busy celebrating to care what Kentucky thinks or says after a game like that. But, you know, it is what it is with John Calipari. He'll recruit another one and done class when he loses seven players from this team to the NBA. It was a great season for them. You know, getting to the Final Four, you know, colleges hang banners for reaching the semifinal in basketball. I don't know any other sport, professional or college, that really celebrates participation in a semifinal the way that we do in basketball in this country.
No, it's a heck of an honor to make it to a Final Four, as we all know. And look, there's teams like Michigan State who get there that don't belong there. So, you know what, at the end of the day, great run from Kentucky, but you do need to win with dignity and lose with class. There's something to it, and it goes from the top. You know, if Calipari is one way, well, then I would assume his players are the same way, because you practice what you preach, and he's teaching that. So at the end of the day, maybe it's a little bit of a knock on Coach Calipari and how he goes about his business and handles things. But at the end of the day, too, guy is a good coach. He's constantly getting his team back to the Final Four and in the tournament and a team to be reckoned with. So, you know what? It is what it is. You kind of get what you pay for with this guy. He's a great coach. He throws a lot of men out there and gets them to the NBA in a year. And you know that you're going to basically NBA you when you go see John Calipari. So it is what it is. I know we're up against it. We got one final segment in this hour or so. You know what? And then on the horizon, Fred Wallen's going to join us. Jeff, you're sticking around, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Yeah, I figured you. I figured there's no way you couldn't stick around when we got a final game to talk about on Monday with Duke and Wisconsin. Somewhat of a shocker to have Wisconsin there, but I truly did believe they could beat them. I thought they had the right mix to knock out Kentucky, and ultimately they did. And I think that same mix is what's going to help them persevere in that game Monday night against Duke, too. So keep it close. A lot going on in the sports world. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.